Hello and welcome to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Charlene Ibala-Lucas. As always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you and to bring you the fourth season of this podcast, focusing on your mental health and well-being. In this, the second part of the season, we'll be talking to people who have turned their passion into their businesses and careers. We'll be asking them how they keep physically and mentally well and what challenges they have faced to get where they are. So be prepared to be inspired, informed, motivated, and entertained for the next hour as we talk about mental health and mindfulness, play some music, and meditate together. My guest today is a therapist with an emphasis in drug and alcohol counseling, initially certified by the California Consortium of Addiction Programs and Professionals, and currently certified by the Kenya Counseling and Psychological Association. She has over 5 years of counseling experience and over 20 years in the business industry. She combines her clinical counseling expertise with her business knowledge to offer clients a unique perspective of problem solving. She's also highly interested in the prevention of cruelty to animals and, when appropriate, supports the use of animal-assisted therapy as part of her clinical work. She describes herself as compassionate, determined, and generous. Monica Karanja, welcome to Mindfulness Music and More.
Thank you so much, Shalini. I appreciate being here today, and it's such a pleasure to be in the same wavelength with you.
Thank you. It's great to have you here because you're doing some amazing work. You have a place called Simply Connect Out of Africa by Sea. That sounds fantastic, but actually there's a lot of serious work done there. Tell me what this place is and how it came about.
Yes, it's a rehabilitation facility. And the way it came about is I am a recovering alcoholic. And as in the process of getting recovery, one of my case managers said I would do well in helping others recover from their addiction. So I started learning how to be a counselor while I'm in the treatment facility. So when I completed a 90-day program in the U.S., I started taking courses, and within 6 months, I was certified as a drug and addiction counselor. And I started working in multiple organizations within California, and I figured in Kenya, there are not that many facilities that help support people looking for recovery from addiction, especially alcoholism, since alcoholism is sort of ignored or highlighted as I would want to quote kawaida, as I hear, that person just drinks uncontrollably and it's normal. And to some extent, it's not. People hide some emotion or some trauma or some feeling behind the alcohol. And so I figured Kenya was a good place for me to come and open a rehab, especially in Naivasha, by the lake. I mean, I specifically wanted to be near the lake because of the healing ambience that the lake area produces. In addition, my parents have a farm in Naivasha, so that's why the attraction was back in Naivasha. They're resting in peace up the hills, not right by the lake, but by the lake is a place where there's a lot better healing. And its ambience is very good.
Yeah, by water often is. Tell me something, and we'll come back to the place, the rehab center. Mm-hmm. Are you originally born and brought up in Kenya?
Yes, I was born in Nairobi.
Okay.
And grew up here too, in Nairobi. Then I was transferred to Naivasha just for the holidays, really. So my passion of Naivasha is because we spend a lot of time during school breaks, which are usually 3 months out of the year. Then I went to the U.S. for higher education.
Okay, so you were in your teens.
Yes, okay. I was actually turning 21 in the air. I left Nairobi.
Ah, okay, so early
20s. yeah, exactly. So I went and pursued education. I got a degree in finance, and then I got a higher degree in business administration. But in the process, I got jobs working as a financial analyst with different organizations in the U.S. And the longest one was Sony Electronics. I enjoyed doing the financial analysis for them.
So you've got a very business mind, which is very interesting that you bring business into what you do now as well as your counseling.
Absolutely. That's how I'm able to manage and run a business, because without that, I'm not able to manage the finances and all the expenses that flow through with running a business.
So you were 21 when you went there. Mm-hmm. And then when did you stay there all the time? And then when did you come back?
I came back in 2018.
Okay, so very recent.
Yes.
And what's the main reason to start the rehab venue? Or was there something else that brought you back?
It was actually specifically because my daughter turned 18. Yeah. I have two children.
Okay.
I wanted to come back to Kenya just because I wanted to start the rehab, since I was working in the industry. And I figured it would be more value being here in Kenya. And that was the reason I wanted to come back. But at the same time, I also wanted my daughter to be an adult. And she turned 18 in August. So we actually came together and I gave her a choice. So you're 18 now. You have a choice. You're an adult. You want to stay here with me or you want to go back? And she chose to go back because that's where she knows. That's her
home. Okay, of course. She was born and brought up
there.
Yes. I do want to talk about your own journey, but tell us a little bit more about Simply Connect. If I were to come there as an alcoholic or a drug abuser, how would you be able to help me?
I would obviously work with you to figure out what the core issue is, because obviously the abuse of the substance is not the problem. The problem is, what are you running away from? What are you hiding? Why are you self-medicating? So we give you one-on-one sessions where you're engaged with your own personal therapist. Then we do have group sessions where we sit in a setting with your peers and then you share openly with them. But in addition, something unique we offer at Simply Connect is we take our clients on mindfulness outings twice a week.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Because as you know, I'm a mindfulness coach. So that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So we take them out and then we see how they observe people drinking or smoking, something they know they will never be able to do. So if it triggers them, then we work on that when we return to the facility. But the mindfulness is, what do you hear? What do you see? What do you smell? And then how do you behave? I mean, how do you feel knowing that somebody else is drinking and this was your drink and you'll never be able to do it again? So we work through those feelings and then we prepare them. So by the time they leave after the 90 days, then it's a non-issue. Other facilities, I understand, lock them up. And once they leave, the first thing they want to do, obviously, is to go to the familiar, because then all of a sudden, they don't know how to behave in society. They've been locked up for 90 days and life is just difficult, and they go to what was their comfort.
Okay, so you keep them with you for 90 days. It's residential. You provide meals.
Yes.
So they're there with you day in, day out.
Yes.
That must be exhausting for you. We'll talk about how you look after yourself
as
well. But let's go to your first song choice, which is Ain't No Stopping You Now, mm-hmm, by McFadden and Whitehead. Why have you chosen this song?
When I was early in recovery, obviously we have sisterhood or a fellowship. And we support each other in our recovery. And one of my peers told me, this is our recovery song. And listening to it, the lyrics made sense, because now my life has changed. I'm no longer the same person that people used to look down on, especially the father of our children. He thought I was useless. And indeed I was when I was in my addiction. So this song just helps me remember that I've come a long way and there's more ahead.
Well, let's have a listen.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll
so together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing
stand in your way.
I want you to listen
to every word I say, every word I say. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.
We're gonna keep trying.
Welcome back to Mindfulness, Music and More, and we're in conversation with Monica. Monica, before the song, you told us that you're a recovering alcoholic. Can you tell me what this was like? You were in the States. When did you realize you were an alcoholic, and how bad did things get?
Thank you, Shalini. It was an awful time, especially for my young children. I was an absentee mom. I basically spent a lot of time thinking and figuring out how to get that drink safely without anyone knowing what was happening. And in fact, when my daughter was young, about 5 years old, or fifth grade, sorry, I used to enjoy volunteering to chaperone on outings so I can spend the whole day drinking. And I would put my vodka in a water bottle to go in the outings, and then I wouldn't want to sit next to my daughter because then she might ask me for a drink of water. So it was really horrible trying to manage how much I wanted to drink. The craving was enormous, and at times I even forgot to pick my daughter from school just because I drank too much, and then I figured, no, I can't drive now, so I would justify that I can get behind the wheel. However, I could not justify that I shouldn't pick that drink. And that's what addiction does. It kind of hijacks my brains. The only thing I want to think about is a drink and how to get it. And once I get it, I can't just have one. I have to keep drinking until either I pass out or I run out. But because of the way I was managing my drinking sort of, I always made sure I had plenty so I didn't have to go back and forth in the stores. And it came to a point where the father of our children, who was still married, said I should not drink anymore, so there were no drinks at home. So my bright idea was to drink during the day while I was at work, and that impacted my work performance. So I got fired from one job, and I got fired from the next, and it still did not work until eventually I had an alcohol withdrawal seizure at my best friend's house.
What's that?
That's when I've been drinking so much, and then all of a sudden I stop, just because I don't want to drink in front of other people, because I don't want to say, oh, I'm drinking too much, because like I said, I cannot drink just one or a little bit. I have to drink a lot. I can't do that in front of other people. So to avoid embarrassing myself as to how much I'm drinking, I drink so much ahead of time, and then I stop.
So when you stop, your body doesn't know
my
what's
body
happening.
My body doesn't realize what's going on. So it's like, I need the alcohol. What are you doing?
Okay.
So when I go into an alcohol withdrawal seizure, I basically pass out.
Was that your turning point?
It wasn't. And unbelievably, no. Because then I got taken to the emergency room. I was treated. Then my best friend thought it's best for me to move from now San Diego to Huntington Beach, closer to her, to where people love me. And then she helped me get a place to live, and her family was subsidizing me with meals and rent. So that made it even worse, because now I have no motivation to work. I'm getting money to buy the booze. So I even drank some more. And within 4 months, the second seizure came. It was now at that point when I said, okay, enough is enough.
And by this time, you were separated from your husband.
Yes.
Where were the children?
We have 50-50 custody, okay. So 1 week with me, 1 week with the dad. But then the dad traveled a lot, so mostly they were with me.
And would you drink whilst they were with you?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I drank during the day, like at work, right. So that when I'm at home, I'm trying to kind of discipline myself.
So were you a functioning alcoholic? You could still do stuff, or did you just pass out a lot of the time?
No, I was a functioning alcoholic.
Okay.
And that's why I was able to continue for so long, so that when I put a stop to the drinking, then my body just, you know, goes into seizure.
When you say so long, looking back, when did you start realizing you had signs of addiction? And so for how long were you battling this disease?
The battle was about for 10 years.
And actually, how old were you?
In my 40s. So okay. At my 40th birthday, actually, my husband like rented a limo with my best friends to go out the night on the town for my birthday. And at my party, my own birthday party, I was drinking so much that I didn't even enjoy myself. Here I am in a limo ride just throwing up because of how much I'm drinking. So I'm just drinking so much because I need to, when I get home, I know there won't be any, right? So I'm trying to compensate for the rest of the evening.
So this was your 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And obviously it carried on. But so did you see the signs before that in your 30s?
No, not at all. And especially because he was trying to manage.
He was trying to manage your drinking.
And the more he tried to manage, the more I drank. So now that's when the hiding came. Because every time he saw me with a drink, he'd either tell me to not drink it or he would dump it. So I didn't want to drink in front of him and I had to hide. And then we go to a birthday party or any party, he would say, I want you to just drink two drinks. So then I would prepare myself and drink ahead of time, literally in a closet, so that he doesn't see me. And then when we get to the party, now I have a resentment because everybody else is drinking as much as they want and I'm all limited to only two. So that resentment makes even me want to kind of retaliate. When I get home, the first thing I want to do is dump in as much as I can, as fast as I can.
It sounds like you were really battling with this, but you became quite devious in how to find drinks. And I know alcoholics and people who are drug addicts will become quite devious for their next fix.
Absolutely.
You then had this seizure, the second one.
Yeah.
That was your turning point. How exactly. old were you and what happened after you had that seizure?
I was 52.
Okay.
And after the seizure, I was taken to the emergency room. And that's when I surrendered and really honestly asked God for help. Because, I mean, I've asked before, but I wasn't serious. But this time I meant it. And the nurses in the emergency room were giving me leads of different rehabilitations to go to. And I was looking now for something that was county funded, since I didn't have any savings, didn't have any insurance, didn't have any money. And the first one I reached out to, they said, call us every day at 11 a.m. and you'll see if a bed opens up. And within 5 days after I'd left the emergency room, a bed opened up. I went in there and I had surrendered. I was ready to do anything. And I was willing to go to any land to get recovery and to have a different way of life. That's when my journey started. And I went in and I was like a little sponge. I was so hungry for the recovery that's when the case manager saw that I could really use helping others as well. Because she saw how much I wanted this and how much I was getting it. And how well I was working a recovery program.
How long have you been sober?
7 years, March 6.
That's an achievement. And thank you so much for sharing that story with us, because it must be very painful to look back on this. I want to ask you, and only tell us as much as you're happy to do so, how have your children coped with this journey?
That's a good question, Shalini. It was quite painful, especially for my son. He's older. He just turned 29 a couple of days ago, April 7th. He's the one who suffered the most because the way he saw his dad trying to manage my drinking, he took it upon himself too. Sometimes we'd go for Easter brunch and we'd have champagne served. And then when I go get some food, I come back, he's tossed away my drink. And then at one point, he actually took all the bottles in the house after my daughter's birthday party and threw them on the street. And he got a beating from me, right? He suffered a lot. But I'm happy to say that today, he tells me I inspire him. So my recovery journey has been both rewarding to me and my children. And they both now look up to me and they say, Mom, you know, we're so proud of you. And we just, you know, we are proud of the work that you're doing. And they wish me nothing but the best.
That's amazing. The recovery was obviously quite difficult, but you've come round full circle. I do want to talk about stigma and also how you came to helping others. Let's do that after your next song choice, which is Hotel California by Eagles. Why have you chosen that song?
I just love the song and the lyrics. And the other thing is because my mentor, his name is Carl Mosen. He has a chain of rehabs called Hotel California by the Sea. So kind of a tribute to my mentor.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
I saw a shimmer. champagne on ice, and she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman, we are programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. Before the break, we had a very open and honest discussion about alcohol addiction, and Monica shared her experience. Monica, you must have faced a lot of stigma, because there is so much stigma around addiction. People don't understand it. They would say to you, just stop. Why is it so hard to stop? Did you face that, and do you see that in Kenya?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, my immediate family members, one of them being my older sister, my immediate older sister, and she kept telling me, why can't you stop? You have, you know, two beautiful children, at least do it for them. However, alcohol is really cunning, baffling and powerful, and nobody or anyone can make me stop the drink. And it's a disease in itself. So if my children cannot make me stop, nothing else can. And then my the father of our children in recovery, we are told not to say X because they contributed to the beautiful children we have. So the father of our children also couldn't understand what was happening, because we are this nuclear family. We have a nice house. Like, I have everything. There's no reason for me to have this behavior. He could not understand it. And, you know, was trying to manage it so hard. And he took it upon himself to kind of cover up what was going on. So it made me even more difficult for me, because now I'm hurting people around me and I don't know what to do. I personally am powerless. In the end, I did not want to drink, but I kept drinking. Mm. So it is a disease, and we need to recognize it as so and give it its power, and not just brush it off as willpower and I can stop if I want to. I cannot.
It takes a lot more than that.
Exactly.
Do you see that stigma in Kenya that people don't understand this disease?
Absolutely. There's a misconception that it's a matter of you being disciplined enough or having the willpower to just stop, or looking to other things that can make you stop. But apparently it's not. And it needs to be looked at as a disease like you would any other fatal or terminal illness. And let's look at it seriously and look at the symptoms and ask people to just be free to just face what the demons are that make them drink.
And this is the kind of work that you do at your rehab center in Naivasha.
That's correct. Yes, people come in and they say, well, we've tried this, we've tried that. And they say, I understand. And there's nothing you personally as a family member can do. And I'm glad that you brought your loved one here. So we work through the issues that make people drink. I identified mine, what the issue was, after a long time in the rehabilitation center. So when you work with a therapist one-on-one, you get to the bottom of the issue and they understand and they say, right? And then they figure out that the drink was just really a cover-up so that I don't feel what what this brings up in my feelings today, right?
So what were the issues that you were dealing with? Why were you turning to drink again and again? Aside from it being a disease, there must have been that underlying issue that you're talking about.
For me, it was perfection, believe it or not.
Ah, okay.
Right. Like, I was seeking perfection in everything that I did. So when I fell short, then I beat myself up. And so beating myself up, I hide it. So the drink helped me to forget that I'm not, I'm falling short of what expectation I'm putting on myself. Nobody's putting it on me. But my own perception of what I need to do fell short every time, and every time it did, it was an excuse or a reason for me to
drink.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. You then come to this, you've come full circle in a way, because you went through this really difficult journey, your children very young, and then somehow you come to helping others with this addiction. And I understand that you did the counseling and stuff, but What was that journey like, being told, we think you should become a counselor? Did you feel that you were ready for, because it's a calling?
Yes, absolutely. I felt I was ready, and what helped me, in addition to reading the literature that helps with recovery, somebody had told me about the book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom, so every time I was told, like every day, read the book of Proverbs for the day. So today is the 9th, I would read Proverbs 9, and then I'll get the wisdom from there, and then I combine that with the fellowship that we use. And then it kind of worked out, because then I got centered, right? So I'm not thinking more about myself, and I'm looking, how can I help the next individual? And that's what I was doing, because being a free treatment facility that's county funded, it was very substandard, right? Remember, I have this beautiful, I mean, I have a master's degree, I have all these things, and here I am in a place where I would not be caught dead at, okay. Right? But because I want the recovery, I'm doing whatever it takes. So people came in with the same mentality that I had. Like, this is a place, it's a shithole. I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, take that back. Why are you here?
Like, yeah, you're what's focusing the reason? On your reason.
Yeah, so do you want recovery or do you want comfort? So if you choose recovery, just do whatever it takes with whatever you have to get where you want to be.
How long were you in this place?
90 days.
90 days, okay, yeah. It's 90 days.
Yeah.
Have your children have forgiven you by the sounds of it?
Yes.
Have you forgiven yourself?
Absolutely. Okay. When I work the 12-step program, it asks us to do, one of the things we do is we write an amend letter, and we write amendments to everyone, including yourself. And because I was the first defender, like I was trying to justify, so I'll be very hard on myself. So in forgiving myself for all the pain and hurts, and especially the physical I put my body through, then it was easy to forgive everyone else.
And what about the people around you? Have you been forgiven by, say, your sister, the father of your children? Where are you with in those relationships?
Okay, so there's my best friend now, who relocated me from San Diego to Huntington Beach, has refused to take my amends.
Okay.
It's been quite painful, but I've come to the realization that some people will not. Mm-hmm. But I do have her amends written. So in the event, you know, time heals everything. So my hope is that eventually she'll come around, because it's funny, she sends me a happy birthday. My birthday. She will say, happy birthday, Monica, and that's it.
But she's not able to forgive you.
No, but her parents were able to forgive me. I gave them amends letter. As for the father of my children, it's another story. So
okay, all right. It sounds like you have really been through the mill. I think that, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're
I
welcome.
Want to share your quote. You've chosen a quote by David Riccio.
Yes.
And the quote is, our wounds are often the openings into the best and most beautiful parts of us. I love that. Why does that resonate with you?
It resonates with me completely, because I was in denial, because my ex-husband, the father of our children, kept saying, you're an alcoholic, you need to stop drinking. No, actually, you're a drunkard, you need to stop drinking. And I was in denial. I'm like, no, you know, when we met, we were both drinking equally as much. But now, when I accepted the fact that I'm an alcoholic, there's a difference between a drunk and an alcoholic. When I accepted the fact that I'm an alcoholic and my life was unmanageable, and I started doing something about it. And now, today, I actually am an employer. When I was in my active addiction, I would never have perceived myself as being where I am, right? I would have been happy just working for somebody else, doing the 8-to-5 job. But today, Shalini, I am driven. I wake up every day, you know, looking forward to seeing the people that I'm helping, their transformation, and it's day by day. Like, all the little aha moments that they tell me they're getting as they go through the program, and especially those who come in not wanting to stay because, no, they don't belong here. You know, same as me. I'm not a drunk, okay, because that's what we are called. But when you say you're an alcoholic, then you start looking for the solution, and you find that, honestly, I'm a beautiful creature. Like, I have so much potential. There's so much I can give. There's so much of me other than the little managing that I was doing. And to me, I feel like I've gotten a lot more being an alcoholic than being a regular drinking person Monica. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the wounds were was the alcoholism.
Yes.
And that has led to beautiful things.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I really can. I can understand that. I think that's very beautiful. To link that. Mm-hmm. Your next song choice is Solitude by Billie Holiday. Why have you chosen this song?
Because I want to just be at peace and quiet by myself. And today I can be that person. And I'm happy just being me, right? Just being by myself in my little world. And I don't have to pretend to be somebody for someone else.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
In my solitude, you haunt me. With revelries of days gone by, in my solitude, you taught me with memories that never die. I sit in my chair, filled with despair. There's no one could be so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad. In my solitude, I'm praying, dear Lord above, send back my love. There's no one could be so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad in my.
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Charlene Ibala-Lucas. Monica, every week we do a meditation, and today I'm going to do a breathing meditation with a mantra, and it's a very mindfulness exercise, so I'm sure you'll resonate with it. So to all my listeners, closing your eyes or lowering your gaze if you feel comfortable to do so. Just sitting with that for a moment as you roll your shoulders back and allow your palms to rest on your knees with the palms upwards. Now bringing your attention to your breath, inhaling and exhaling through your nose in your own time. Feel the flow of air coming into your body and the flow of air going out of your body. Feeling the different sensations as you breathe in and as you breathe out. The breath on your upper lip, the rise and fall of your chest and stomach. Keep your attention on your breathing as you pick up the mantra. Breathing in, I honor the breath in. Breathing out, I honor the breath out. Breathing in, I honor the breath in. Breathing out, I honor the breath out. Couple more times. Breathing in, I honor the breath in. Breathing out, I honor the breath out. Breathing in, I honor the breath in. Breathing out, I honor the breath out. You can continue to do this for as long as you like, but for now, being aware in this present moment, you are strong, you are free to just be, and bring your awareness to the space you're in, your body, my voice, and when you feel ready, opening your eyes. How was that, Monica?
Oh, beautiful.
We can only ever do a couple of minutes on the show.
Yeah.
But the idea is to do it for a longer time. And using the mantra or the affirmation to keep your mind anchored is a good way.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So you can try that with your...
My clients.
Your clients.
Yeah.
So, Monica, finally, if I were to cast your way to a desert island and you could only take one book with you, what would it be?
It would be Tuesdays with Maury.
Why?
The reason being, Maury was... The story was written by a student of a professor. And all they did is meet every Tuesday and they would talk about life issues and they help each other. So this book helps to, and like, I mean, it lifts somebody else or helps somebody else in a difficult situation, which is what I do on a daily basis, I believe, is help others identify who they are, find out the best versions of themselves, and even figure out, why am I here? Why was I created? So Tuesdays with Maury kind of helped me, was a segue for me to getting into helping other people. And my sister is one who introduced me to that book. She thought during my addiction, if I read that, it would help me get out of the addiction.
Okay. Oh, that sounds really interesting. Definitely a book I'll put on my list. What about the song? What would you take on a desert island?
The song was by Gautier or somebody.
Featuring Kimbra, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody that I used to know.
Right. So somebody that I used to know would have been my relationship with alcohol. I kind of like time it that way because when I started, I was drinking moderately, like a lady, one or two. But when it took over my life, then I just don't want anything to do with it. And I just want it to be something that I used to do or used to know.
Okay.
So.
That's really why. Interesting. I like that analogy. Okay. All right. And the luxury item, what would you take with you?
It's a beautiful necklace my sister gave me when she was trying to help me, poor soul, get out of my addiction. She was doing everything in her power, so she gave me this gold necklace. It has a miraculous metal, and as a Catholic, so the miraculous metal helps with kind of like knowing that I have somebody watching over me or somebody who loves me. And so it kind of gave me hope and faith in waiting, you know, knowing that somebody out there really does love me. And I don't have to do anything to damage or harm myself.
Okay, so it sounds very precious. So I will give you all those things. Thank you so much, Monica. One thing I do want to just touch on, because it was in your bio, was about the prevention of cruelty to animals. And you use animals in therapy. Tell me a little bit about that. How do you use animals in therapy?
So, Shalini, we have little cats, and when they grow older, we go to KSPCA and get some little ones because we find that most of our clients feel relaxed around the kittens, but when they get bigger, the cats sometimes don't want to be bothered, they don't want to be touched, so they're very personal. And then we have dogs.
What do you do with the cats when they're older?
Give them to my family. I also have three right now, so I had four, but one passed away, so either take them on or take them to my family farm. And in fact, at one point, I had a client who brought in her dog for the second session of, after the first month, when they're done just dealing with themselves, then the second month that we introduce now family and other things. So during her second month, she was able to bring her dog, and it helped her with her therapy and her anxiety.
Yeah, animals are so good. I had a cat called Tabasco that was given to me by my husband Jeremy when I had depression. Mm-hmm. And Tabasco really helped me with depression. When Jeremy died, Tabasco was my companion for 2 years. And he's such a beautiful companion to have. So I'm looking for two kittens. So that's the next two kittens, two puppies coming to our house soon.
Okay.
Thank you, Monica. I'd like to present you with my book, Happiness Is It Simply a Mindset Shift? As a thank you for appearing on the show, to all my listeners, this book is now available at Textbook Center and Rafa Books in Kenya and Amazon worldwide. Please also follow me for more mental health tips, mindfulness meditations, and lots more on my social media at Just Joom. Monica, thank you for sharing your story with us. Is there a final message you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would like to let everyone know, or struggling with any form of behavioral problem where they cannot identify what's happening. It could be that they're dealing with some underlying issue that they haven't been able to deal with, and it would be helpful for them to speak to someone. And we're available at a very simple phone number. It's Simply Connect. Our phone number is 0777-8063, and another one is 62 at the end. And our website is www.simplyconnectmission.com. And we're always available 24 hours a day.
And on your social media, Instagram, for example, what's your social handle?
It's Simply Connect Mission on both of them.
Okay, great. So please, to all my listeners, if you or someone you know is struggling with any of the issues today, please do reach out to Monica or other professional help, whether that be a counselor or your doctor. You can also open up and share your feelings and mental health issues anonymously without fear of judgment on Bonga, www.bonga.or.ke. This is a safe space where you can start the healing process. To play out the show, Monica's final song choice, Somebody That I Used to Know. I'm Shalini Bala-Lucas. I'm grateful to all of you for your time today. Thank you for listening. And until next week, stay happy, be mindful. So when we found that we could not